Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
I am the very model of a biblical philologist. I'm quite the semitician and a passing hitotologist. My articles are free from all grammatical iniquity. I rank Semitic cognates in their order of propinquity. I am very well acquainted too with matters exegetical. I side with all the orthodox and censure the heretical. In print I wrinkle brows of any liberal who wrinkles mine. Got it! And counter all the theses of that vigilante Finkelstein. Then I can give a lecture on the logic of Leviticus and tell you every symbol in the apparatus criticus and shorten matters lexical, semantic, and homologous. I am the very model of a biblical philologist. I know my St. Jerome and all his Vulgate Prolegomena. I've memorized in order all the known Hapax Legomena. Then I can tell the age of every patriarch in Genesis and tell the doggish fortress from the Shurix and the Lenises. I dream in Aramaic and interpret it in Syriac. I've posited that Esau was a possible porphyriac. Then I can pass it sight of Polol, Hid, Polol, or Hishtafel. I say, that's a hard one, isn't it? Got it! And topple any argument it happens that I wish to fail. Then I can date disciple of Arabian calligraphy and tell you what the scribe was wearing based on the epigraphy and shorten matters lexical, semantic, and homologous. I am the very model of a biblical philologist. Then I can write a shopping list in classical Sumerian and tell you whether peoples were nomadic or agrarian. I know the Jewish festivals Purimic and Kippurian. I mumble in Mandaic, I can hum a little Hurrian. Then I can sing the alphabet in hieroglyph Gluvian and catalogue the animals with pre- and post-Diluvian. Then I can tell a surplus from a Chasuble or Manipul. Oh dear me, I suppose it's unavoidable, really. I wrote my dissertation in a flowery Akkadian, and proved the Philistines were almost certainly Canadian. And shorten matters lexical, semantic, and homologous. I am the very model of a biblical philologist. Presto agitato, s'il vous plaît, maestro. Then I can write a shopping list in classical Sumerian and tell you whether peoples were nomadic or agrarian. I know the Jewish festivals were Purimic and Kippurian. I mumble in Medaic, I can hum a little Hurrian. Then I can sing the alphabet in hieroglyphic Luvian and catalogue the animals for pre- and post-Luvian. Then I can tell the serfs from a Cheshire or Manipul and reconstruct the library of ancient Asimanipul. I wrote my dissertation in a flowery Akkadian and proved the Philistines were almost certainly Canadian. In short, matters lexical, semantic, and homologous, I am the very model of a biblical philologist. How do you like that, eh, Finkelstein?
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Richard Dietering. I'm sitting in for Gary Wellings today. I am the very model of a biblical philologist. Love to learn. I love to learn about the Bible. I love to take a look at the biblical, at a historical view, from a linguistic view, from a cultural view. And we're going to be talking a few things of the Bible today, but more importantly, we will be getting into some other issues that is near and dear to all of our hearts. Right now, I have a guest on the phone. We brought him in a little bit early, 5 minutes early, so I will take him. He is the author of the book called The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's Diabolical, Duplicitous, Dangerous, Disastrous, and Deadly Plan for Black America. Now, my dear friend Phil Stargell, who's joining me today, how you doing, Phil?
I'm doing terrific.
You want to talk about coming in at the last minute? I'm sitting here, I am sweating. Phil's supposed to join me. I'm trying to call him on the phone. I finally reach him, and he says, "Well, I'm on the highway," and that was like 1 minute to 2 o'clock, and I knew we had his dear friend, and I know Bruce myself. I've been in a number of different pro-life activities with him,
yes,
and a number of dinners, and Bruce is joining us today. He wrote this book. Now, I just got this book. Now, let's be honest. You gave me this book, what, Wednesday?
Yes.
And I could have read it much faster if the print had been larger, because I'm old.
Yeah.
But I went through this. This is very well, I mean, this is some scholarly work. It's very well. I've got all the footnotes where it needs to be. The bibliography on this, I went through and just... It's unbelievable the amount of research that went into this book. And so we have the author, Bruce Fleury, joining us today. The book, again, the title is called The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's Diabolical, Duplicitous, Dangerous, Disastrous, and Deadly Plan for Black America. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing pretty good, Pastor Rick. It's good to talk to you again. Hey, Phil, how you doing, Chief?
Well, I'll tell you what, he would answer you, but he forgot. He got in here so late, he doesn't even have his headphones on yet. I was sitting there waiting, why isn't he answering? I look up, and he's digging in his bag for his earphones. So you don't get to talk to Phil yet. Hey, I want to tell you, I did read this book. It is, I love to read things that are scholarly. I'm not one who enjoys reading flowery things. Mm-hmm. I like things that get right to the facts, lay things out the way they need to be laid out. Your book does a wonderful job in doing that.
Well, I thank you very much. It was about a year and a half researching it and writing it, mm-hmm. and about another year and a half to finally get it in print, which it was last October 1st. So I'm coming up on a bit of a milestone here.
So let me ask you a question before we get into the meat of this book.
Right.
If someone, after they're done listening to our conversation here, just say they need to go out and get this book. Again, it's called mm-hmm. The Negro Project. I'll give you the short title of it, The Negro Project. Where can they find a copy or get a copy of this?
Well, you can get it through a number of places. You can go online, get it at barnesandnoble.com. You can also get it at booksamillion.com. You can also order it through Amazon, or you can go directly to the publishing company's own online book order department, which is www.dorrance, that's D-O-R-R-A-N-C-E, bookstore.com.
All right.
And you can also call in, call 1-800-788-7654, and just speak to the great people there. They'll help you right out. And the great thing about this is you can there's no minimum number of copies to order or maximum number of copies. It's what's called a print-on-demand basis. So, right. You know, if you want to have one copy, they'll run one off for you. If you want to get two, three, four, five, or six, you have a mess of friends, and you want to try to educate them and about what's going on, you can certainly do that too.
Okay, now, as I read this title, mm-hmm. and the subtitle of this, Margaret Sanger's Diabolical, Duplicitous, Dangerous, Disastrous, and Deadly Plan for Black America, you know,
right.
Hillary Clinton seems to speak highly of her, but let's just say that this title has some negative connotations to it.
Well,
could Hillary be wrong?
Hillary is dead wrong, as she almost always is. You know,
yes.
You know, she was out lying again yesterday about her tete-a-tete with Comey and what he said to the committee. But that's another story for another day.
All right.
Hillary Clinton is all in for Margaret Sanger. She thinks she was a cat's meow, you know, and she comes from that 60s radical, so-called progressive philosophy that took hold well over 100 years ago, and Margaret Sanger was a part of that progressive philosophy.
Okay, let's just now dive into the meat of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to the main part of the title, The Negro Project. What was, or what is, I'm going to put it in current mm-hmm. tense, and I think people will figure out why by the time we're done.
Right.
What is The Negro Project?
Well, I think it's still going on today, even though it was devised in 1939 by Margaret Sanger herself and one of her cohorts, a man named Clarence Gamble. He was the heir to the Procter & Gamble detergent, you know, soap, household cleaner fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to figure out how to get more people, especially Black Americans, to buy into this because the churches were, and still are, Pastor Rick, you know, the black demographic is probably the most religious and faithful of all church-going demographic groups. And so basically what they had to do is we got to get things rolling here. So they decided to zero in on the black, on a certain number of black ministers. I believe the whole, not the entire quote, but with social service backgrounds and engaging personalities. And she wrote to Mr. Gamble, she wrote that the most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. And the minister was the man who can straighten that idea out if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members.
Okay, so just because we haven't really, I want to cut this. So at the beginning of this, she has a project. We don't really know what it is yet, talking to you. We're going to figure that out. But she has this project that's going to involve the black Americans. And she figures the best way to get them involved then is to go to their religious centers, talk to their pastors, and get their pastors on board, because it's coming across at this point as a social program. That's where we're at right now. Now,
at this point,
it sounds pretty good. All right. It sounds pretty, social program for the black community. Hooray. Except it had not a real social program in mind in helping the black race out at all, did it?
No, that's why I called it diabolical and duplicitous, because she got a number of these people, as you'll read in chapter 4, which I titled The Useful Idiots of Margaret Sanger's Negro Project. Pastor Rick, not only did she get a certain number of black ministers involved, she also got people from the leadership of the NAACP, the media, celebrities, the whole nine yards, and it's really truly breathtaking, just the breadth and scope of some of these great Americans, otherwise great Americans. They bought into this stuff, and it just makes you, you know, shake your head like, you know, what's going on here?
Okay.
It'll make your head spin.
So you say get drawn into this stuff. What is this stuff? What is the plan?
Well, okay, Margaret Sanger, as obviously the founder of Planned Parenthood, which is the nation's largest abortion provider, but she did not publicly endorse abortion. She wanted to sterilize people. She believed that there were too many inferior types, unfit people that were out there having children and large families. In fact, she hated large families. She said that the most merciful thing that a large family can do to one of its infant members is to kill it.
I laugh not because it's funny. I laugh because it is shockingly sad.
I know. Yeah, I know. And the thing is, she was all into sterilization, whether it was for any reason whatsoever. We had most states in this country had forced sterilization laws, including the state of Michigan. And you could be sterilized if you were drunk, if you were epileptic, if you were shiftless, if you were lazy, if you didn't have any means of support, indigent, or you could be sterilized just to prevent any more of your kind if you had the wrong skin color.
And let's not forget the feeble-minded.
Right.
But the one thing that that is very important that we inject here before we go, the reason that she got preachers with clergymen with social background was because they were persuasive and they were trusted in the community. And and in Harlem, in New York, the most high visible preacher in that area was Adam Clayton Powell's father.
His senior. Yeah, exactly. We know, and you and I remember Adam Clayton Powell Jr., right?
Right. Yes, he was of our generation. And the thing was, what was that she said that she did not want them to know.
Right.
That their intent was to exterminate them. Now, that's what was left out of the overall project that everybody knew about. But that was the deep, dark secret. We will exterminate. They wanted to exterminate people.
Exactly. And they're doing a great job, Phil. I mean, if you look at it, Chapter 6 is basically on a chapter on demographics. And it shows a lot of what is happening to the black community, unfortunately. And you want to cry about this. It's a lot of it is self inflicted.
Let me
You look at the black on black crime, the shootings in Chicago especially. But when you factor in the abortion rate among black women of childbearing age, which is only about 3.5% of the total population, are having 35% to 40% of the abortions still, you're looking at a replacement level well below the minimum for any society to survive, let alone thrive and prosper.
My numbers say 43% and rising. 43%. And let's not forget that Hillary Clinton has already said that she wants to have the government fund Planned Parenthood. If that's the case, that 43% would probably go up to 65% to 70%.
I want to interject here because we're talking about a conversation that you know what it's really about, Phil, and what I know what it's really about, and what Bruce definitely knows what it's about.
Yes.
What's happening here is Margaret Sanger was a big advocate for something called eugenics.
Yes,
correct.
For those of you out there don't understand what that is, she believed in what I'll call the racehorse theory, that if you bred good to good, you're going to get good, but we had to get rid of the weeds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she wasn't the only one either.
Right. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you run from there.
W.E.B. Du Bois spoke of a talented tent. A percent of the black population would rise up and leave the other 90% behind to their own devices, you know, and that kind of leaves it open for, you know, for the mind to go in all different directions.
Right. So Margaret Sanger's plan at this point, you talked about sterilization, her goal was very diabolical because she looked at eliminating whole races of people for the good of the gene pool of the world, right? That was her theory.
Right. Yeah, in fact, if you look at the front cover of the book, and I have another quote there, it says birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading, and that's a quote from her. So the idea behind the whole birth control idea, because back when she was out, there were laws against even out to publicly promote birth control.
Yes.
Right, exactly. There's something in called the Comstock Act, which was passed in the late 1800s, and that made it unlawful to order any type of birth control devices or, you know, and deal in any type of, shall we say, adult art, type of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she's got this plan now. She's going to clean up the race. She builds this whole concept, builds on this concept of eugenics. Now, she did not just include blacks. However, blacks was the black society was a main part of her target.
Right.
That's why she ended up putting her birth control centers in black communities.
Yeah, and most of the Planned Parenthood clinics are located in the black inner city. In fact, there's one in my old neighborhood over by 8 Mile and Gratiot on the east side of Detroit, northeast side of Detroit.
And there's one in Ypsilanti, and if you go to most of the urban centers that are primarily black urban centers, you will find Planned Parenthood in, which is why I state and you stated that we feel that this project is still enacted. That this project is still going on.
And I just saw something shocking the other day on social media. There was a group of Methodist priests that got out, or female priests, or I don't know what they call reverends or ministers, the Methodists, and they were out there seeking God's blessing on one of these places.
Wow.
It's truly shocking, Pastor Rick and Phil. Yep.
Well, you know, and this is something I'm going to get into when I get around the second half of the hour. Is trying to talk. Here's my problem as a pastor, is when I look at the numbers. Do you know that primarily the largest number of people that get abortions in this country claim to be Christian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are on women that claim a Christian background, a Christian connection, and and I will be talking about that after the hour. But I want to point back is this one point. They've now had the Methodists, some Methodist lay people out there. Promoting abortion, so they're back to going in to religious leaders to get them to approve it, so that their congregation can all of a sudden say it's okay to murder these children.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that we have to do is to get publications like this and some of these other great works need to get those into the black churches so that they can see what's going on and just how they've been co-opted and hoodwinked and bamboozled over the years. Because if this doesn't stop, we are facing a very real possibility that the native-born, non-immigrant black population in this country will, for all intents and purposes, become extinct before the turn of the next century. And and you can check that out online. You can Google that, and you. I'll tell you what, I was so shocked and and disgusted by what I saw, you know, and I thought to myself, my God, I've got to get this this book out, get it in print, get it in circulation.
Well, that's why somebody should ask Hillary Clinton, is she happy about that prospect, the prospect of Black Americans being extinct in this country?
Right. Well, Phil,
within 80 years.
Yeah. Do you know what the largest minority group in the country is right now?
I'm going to go with atheist.
Yeah, that's
Hispanics.
Yeah, Hispanics.
Yep.
Well, let's look at why. When Ronald Reagan gave amnesty in 1984,
mm-hmm.
there were 12 million
right.
Hispanics,
mm-hmm.
10 million legal or
right.
had been here, and 2 million illegals.
Right.
At the same time, there were 32 million Black Americans in this country. Today, 40 years later, mm-hmm. there are 32 million Black Americans. I mean, 38 million. A rise of 6 million. And 48 known Hispanics in this country. And debatable, another 11 million is what the number is being thrown around, but it's probably 30 million.
What we have to add into it, I'm taking a guess, this is where Mr. Fleury was going with this, mm-hmm. is the fact that the faith base of the Hispanic is primarily, not 100%, but primarily Catholic, that is very much, will not come out in favor of abortion, and most of them are not practicing abortion, so they can't meet the targeting of this eugenics concept because they're not going to get involved as much with abortion. So their population is going to grow exceedingly while we're at the black nation of this country is more and more aborting their children.
Yes.
At numbers that can't keep up. It can't keep up.
Right.
And so this is why you're going to see this extinction of the black race.
And one other thing, if you also go online and you check out total fertility rate by country, you'll see that the United States is not even at replacement level right now as of 2015. And these statistics come from the Central Intelligence Agency, and they also come from the United Nations itself. Right now, the total fertility rate or replacement level of the United States of America is about one, less than two live births per female. And you have to have a little bit over that in order just to replace mom and dad, right?
Exactly.
But the way that the abortion has just devastated the black community so horribly that the replacement level now is less than one live birth per female, down maybe by 0.7 live births per female. And that is a recipe for extinction.
And we still don't know the impact of these abortifacient drugs that they are passing out.
That's
like
right.
candy. We don't know just how many of these that are affecting this group of black females that are 3.5 to 4% of the population and are responsible for over 40%, about 43% of all of the abortions.
Yeah, you know, you got a quote right at the beginning of chapter 5 by Margaret Sanger, mm-hmm. and it's talking. It refers to those that she wants to sterilize, those she wants to kill, which includes Slavics and blacks. You know, she's got
equal
her list. Yeah, she's got her list of people she wants to exterminate. Yeah. Blacks being in that list. She refers to these human beings as human weeds, reckless breeders spawning human beings, spawning like your fish. Okay, like we're fish. Yeah, okay, yep. Spawning human beings who should never have been born.
Wow.
This is the great hero that Hillary Clinton espouses.
Yes, yes.
Hey, I have a question for you, Bruce. We're coming up on a hard break here shortly. When we come up on, are you able to carry into the next break? I know you're busy and you have to leave.
Yeah, I can carry over.
All right. I also want to make mention before we go into that break. Most of the time, people who author books and write books and go on the radio circuit are there to promote the sales. I want to clear that I searched you out, Bruce.
Yeah.
That you didn't reach me to say, I want to promote this book. I searched you out, and we'll talk about that a little bit more after the break.
Okay, thank you, guys. I'll hang on.
Thank you.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Two Belgian police officers attacked by a man with a machete.
It was a third police officer who fatally shot the attacker. In terms of a motive, it's really early. Police have said that the attacker was shouting, "God is great," in Arabic.
Harriet Hadfield with Fox Sister Network Sky News. A Belgian official seeing clear leanings towards terrorism. President Obama pushing for more Zika funding as Miami works to stamp out more local transmissions. 16 so far.
For the British company wanting to release 3 million genetically modified mosquitoes into the Florida Keys, a big win as the FDA gives final approval for a field trial.
Fox's Phil Keating and the man who allegedly attacked Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof in the jail shower now out on a $100,000 bond more than 18 months after he was arrested. Fox News, we report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
On Tuesday, August 23rd from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., the Ann Arbor District Library presents Hands-On Music Workshop, electronic music production with Mike Huckabee at the Downtown Library for grades 6 through adult. It's time for electronic music production when Detroit sound designer Mike Huckabee returns to the Ann Arbor District Library for this popular workshop. Mike Huckabee has become the busiest Detroit remixer in the past few years. He has produced music on his two labels, Deep Transportation and Synth, both well known among underground DJs worldwide. A main force behind the once legendary Record Time store has gathered an encyclopedic knowledge of dance music. Join Mike as he shares his electronic music production knowledge and skills in this hands-on workshop. For more information, call the library at 734-327-8301 or visit aadl.org. Washtenaw County Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310 are holding their 14th annual pig roast. It'll take place Sunday, September 11th from noon to 4 p.m. It'll be at the VFW Post 423, 3230 South Wagner Road in Ann Arbor. Enjoy a wonderful pork dinner, have fun, and help raise funds for the following projects: Caring for Our Country Vietnam Veterans Memorial, parties for local hospitalized veterans, Thanksgiving dinner for Dawn Farm residents, and many more. There will be live entertainment and a military merchandise sale. Ticket prices for adults are $10, ages 6 to 12, $5, and children under 6 get in free. Tickets will be available at the gate. For more information, call 734-864-2819. Note, all motorcycle and other clubs are invited to make this a destination day.
Get to ABC Warehouse and save up to 65% on appliances, HD TVs, mattresses, furniture, and more. There are doorbuster deals in every department. Now through Saturday, get a Samsung LED 1080p 48-inch smart TV for just $448 and a Frigidaire front-load washer and matching dryer for only $497 each. See the entire sale ad online at abcwarehouse.com. The deals are in the house. ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale. Get to ABC Warehouse for store-wide savings of up to 65% off on appliances, HD TVs, mattresses, furniture, and more. Right now, for a limited time, get a Beauty Sleep by Simmons Deluxe Queen Mattress Set with a free box spring for only $497. You can also get no interest for up to 5 years, free delivery and setup, free removal of your old bedding, and free TVs. Hurry, sale ends Saturday. The deals are in the house. The deals are always in the house. ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Again, this is Pastor Richard Dietering. I'm filling in for Gary Wellings this weekend. If you do not have your copy of The Current for this month, please get out and get it. On page 10, you need to look at that. There's something very important coming up on September 10th. That's just right around the corner. It runs from 9:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. This is the largest free information on family emergency readiness. There's a whole exposition on it. They're going to have a lot of stuff there. They're going to have stuff from the Red Cross. They're going to have a number of different topics, such as refuse to be a victim. Now, this is geared towards women. How to build a 72-hour kit. Survive an active shooter scenario. A lot of different things there. Better to prepare you. If you are not prepared in the case of an accident, you will not survive that accident or that event. So this is a whole event, a whole expo on getting your whole family ready for an emergency readiness program. So check that out on page 10 of The Current. I actually am going to try to make it there. My wife, who is very much in preparing, she makes sure we all have go bags in our trunk and everything else. We have water in our trunk of our car. We have it in the house. She's very much into prepping. This is going to be right up her alley, so we should see you there if you're there. There's so many different neat different topics. Home invasion defense, for those of you who don't have a clue what home invasion defense is, part of that program should probably include a gun. So, but there's also stuff on how to deal with deadly smoke, fire, safety. My daughter just recently was barbecuing. And she had the barbecue setting outside her door. Her screen door was open. What she didn't know was her whole house was filling up with carbon monoxide. She ended up going inside and being rushed to the hospital, almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning from her grill that was outside.
Yeah.
So there's things that we need to learn how to do and prepare for, and things that we should look at and that we may not think is dangerous. Mm-hmm. But you can. So you can figure this all out. Please go to this expo. Again, it is September 10th, 2016, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. In Livingston County Public Safety Complex, 1911 Thule Road, Howell, Michigan. 1911 Thule Road, Howell, Michigan. See you there. We have on the line with us right now Bruce Fleury, the author of The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's Diabolical, Duplicitous, Dangerous, Disastrous, and Deadly Plan for Black America. And just as we were going off for that hard break, Bruce, I mentioned that you did not send the book to us to promote on the air. I searched you out and searched your book out and asked you to come on because I know how serious this is, because people are looking at Planned Parenthood as their friend. And meanwhile, they actually have a much more nefarious mindset, whether the employees know it or not, of carrying out, Margaret Sanger's eugenics.
Well, you know, I think it's this is a glaring illustration of just how dumbed down people can get from being subjected to over 50 years of failed progressive liberal social policies, going all the way back to Lyndon Johnson's time and even before that. It's just astounding that so many people are out there, and they've got the ability. All you got to do, if you have access to a computer, all you have to do is go online, and you can look all this stuff up. That's how I did most of my research. And I'll tell you, when I was writing this thing, especially the chapters about her Margaret Sanger herself and her philosophical and spiritual connections to what was going on in Germany in the 1930s, a lot of which came about due to what she was promoting, as well as a lot of her associates.
Let's not shoot past that all too quick here. I want to step back so people can make this connection. What she was advocating is what was the inspiration behind the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler's eugenics movement.
Right. Well, Germany had its own eugenics program, but just like the United States did and Great Britain did, which I kind of outlined that in Chapter 2 and Chapter 3. But when Hitler came on board, I mean, he just took that to a whole new level. I mean, they just put the whole thing on steroids, and they had forced sterilization programs, forced euthanasia programs. It's something called Lebensborn, which was a scheme by Heinrich Himmler to increase the German population through having his SS men run around and have as many liaisons as they could with women, whether they were married or not, in hopes of increasing the population in a few generations.
Now,
and this is the on sick, Pastor Rick. This is evil.
Oh, I realize that. And here's what I want people to realize. If you're thinking, people, if you're out there listening to thinking this is a thing of the past, you're talking about Hitler and the Third Reich, that's 1940s. And of course, Margaret Sanger was before that. This is old stuff. Folks, this is not old stuff. Let me tell you, right now in our schools and our areas of higher academics, let's go to Princeton University, who holds a seat. He's the head of bioethics at Princeton University.
Peter Singer.
Peter Singer. Not Sanger, Singer. I know they should sound alike. He point blank says, you know, a child should be able to be killed up until 18 months.
Yes.
Right.
18 months of after birth, out of the womb.
Yeah.
So, but that's not it. He doesn't stop there. If you suffer from any dementia, Alzheimer's, you are now a candidate to be euthanized.
Yes.
If you suffer from a mental disorder, you should be euthanized.
Yes.
Then if you actually get into him, he believes that animals should have more rights than people.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? This is going all the way. This is all the way up to the United Nations, you know, in their population control agenda 21.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, John Holdren, the lead science advisor to Barack Obama, said this in a book called Eco-Science, which he co-published with Paul Ehrlich back in the 1970s. He said, indeed, it has been concluded that compulsory population control laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, could be sustained under the existing Constitution if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger the society. This is a guy that's got Obama's ear.
Right. Wow. Now, just to explain on this, right now in China, they can they can force you to have an abortion, especially if they find out you're going to have a female or a female child, that they can force you to have an abortion. Matter of fact, but to keep the numbers down, they limit how many kids you can have. We sit here and decry that and call that inhumane.
Right.
Yet, what that quote just told me is within our Constitution, they could find a way to force women to have abortion if it was for the good of the country.
Right. And you know what? I had great conversations with several prominent pro-life members, folks on a national level, including Johnny Hunter, who is the head of the Life Education and Resources Network down in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And he told me, how can we even express the least little bit of outrage at what ISIS is doing, when what we're doing to children just before the moment of birth is just as bad.
Yeah.
You know, partial birth abortion. You know, we know what that is.
Yep.
I have a question, Bruce, because I've heard numbers, and I want to see if your numbers kind of go along with mine. Here we are in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
How many, and I want to be very specific to race, because we're talking about Margaret Sanger's Negro Project. How many in the black population are murdered by abortion a day? Do you have that number?
The numbers I had, their estimates of that, and they're pretty good numbers. National Black Pro-Life Congress, I know, they always have some pretty solid numbers. 3,000 abortions every day performed in the United States, at least one-third of which are performed on black females. So that comes out to
1,000.
Like,
1,000, yeah. One-third of 3,000. I'm a mathematician, too, I guess.
another thing Reverend Hunter pointed out to me is you got to stop and think about this. I mean, we didn't just lose these 20 million folks over in the years since Roe versus Wade. We lost 20 million descendants.
Right.
We don't know what we've lost. We don't know what great scientists, what great educators, entertainers, community leaders, or just
scientists, anything.
Honest folks, the kind of people upon which great republics are built.
Okay.
We will never know because they're not here.
I want to go back to that number. 1,000 black Americans murdered every day by abortion.
Yes.
1,000.
Right.
Do you understand? People, I want you to wrap your head around that number. 1,000 people a day murdered. And in centers that are aimed and targeting to actually do exactly that and to eliminate the black race in this country. Now, here's my question is, 1,000 black children murdered today. Where is Black Lives Matter right now yelling about 1,000 lives being murdered every day by these clinics, by these true supremacists that want to eliminate it and being told that it's their right to kill their child, so do it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And it just... Yeah, and there's another word I probably could have included in the subtitle. You could throw in the word devastating too, because that's what we're looking at. And it isn't just this demographic group, guys. It is spilling over into other groups: whites, Hispanics, even Asians. And it is just we can't keep this up. We cannot keep this up without severe and long lasting damage to our social fabric, to our economy. And you cannot make this up with immigration.
Just a second right there. I got to do this. Because this company has been a supporter of the current newspaper, and they help financially through advertising and everything else. J&M Landscaping, Tree Division, they do it all. They do Tree Division. They take care of your full landscaping. You can get free estimates. Go to J&M Landscaping or give them a call at 248-640-7029. I'm going to repeat that again because I just totally tore it up the first time. 248-640-7029. You can check them out on the web at J&M Landscaping Michigan.com. J&M Landscaping Michigan, or MI, I'm sorry, .com. Check them out. They're out of Whitmore Lake for all your landscaping needs. They do it all right down to the trees. And thank them for supporting such great shows as Gary Welling's show here, The Drift. And I also want to thank him for giving me this time to talk. So we're on the phone right now with Bruce Fleury, the author of The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's Diabolical, Duplicitous, Dangerous, Disastrous, and Deadly Plan for Black America. And as he just said, he wished he could have thrown another D word in there, which was devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And death.
Yeah, and death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we have to call this what it is. A lot of people get upset because we call that murder. And they refer, and I've got to go into this angle right now. We refer to it as murder, and they say, well, don't throw your religious beliefs on me. As though the concept of that child being murdered is a religious belief.
Yes.
One of the things that I'm talking about dumbing down is it doesn't take it long for it to sink in. You get the realization that this would not go on if people realize that what these individuals, what these groups, these organizations are trying to do is to dehumanize the unborn child.
Right.
Look at the terminology.
You know, massive cells, web of tissue, blob of protoplasm.
Well, my part of educating people, first of all, as a pastor, they expect me to come at them from a religious point of view. And what I find is that if I do that, they turn off immediately and they stop listening.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to talk to them from a different point of angle, and that is using science.
Yes.
That is using just regular natural law of morals and ethics outside of the religious point of view.
Yeah.
And so I have to talk to them at that point, and they have to admit, at this point, when a child is conceived in the womb, the second it is conceived in the womb, everything is there for that child to become a 90-year-old man.
Yes.
Everything is there for that child to become a 90-year-old man. And you got to look at it that way. We're all at different points within our development. And if you look at the science books at the colleges that teach medicine, they say that that embryo, that zygote, let's go before the zygote, that or before the embryo, that zygote, from the very beginning of the cell split, they refer to as a human in the earliest forms of division
and earliest form of development.
I'm so frustrated with these people right now.
Yes.
So it is a human. Everything is there. The womb is not an assembly line where here we are adding on the legs this week, and next week we're going to assemble and add on the feet, and now we're gonna put in the heart now. That's not how it works. It's all there.
Nope. Yes.
Exactly. And the thing is, guys, like I was saying earlier, you know, about dehumanizing the unborn child, that is why these people hate to see the use of sonograms and ultrasounds, which to me is almost a no-brainer, guys, because are we that stupid now as a society that we need to have a picture, what, do we have to draw you a picture type of thing so we can see it? I mean, a good number of women who go into these places, the doctor and that sort of thing, and they see the baby growing inside the womb, and they say, wait a minute, I can't do this.
Yes.
This is another human being.
Yes.
And they can't not stand it.
No.
They hate it.
But
they use sonograms still. Uh-huh. They use sonogram and abortion mills in order to facilitate the procedure.
There's a young lady.
That's what they use it for.
There was a young lady who I was counseling. I cannot give her name, but before coming on, I asked if I could at least tell a little bit of her story.
Yeah.
Talking about the sonograms. She went in and they said they made me have one of these. She was going to go in for an abortion. They made me have one of these, and they said did the sonogram. And as they did the sonogram, the child reached out with a hand, then rubbed its eye, and took a big yawn. And she says, I couldn't kill that child. And when she realized what she was doing, she says, I couldn't kill my child.
Thank God for that.
And, the sonograms really do, they do serve a purpose, at least to somebody who has a heart who looks at them and says, this is a child. I can't murder. And they realize this is exactly what they're in there to do.
Yeah.
And now this young girl, I wish, there's reasons why I can't mention her name, and so I'm going to honor her that on that. But she decided, and she's going to go through and have this child. I knew a young conservative man a few years ago. His wife was pregnant, and he says, you know, with everything the way it is, economics are down. This was back in 2008. You know, I can't afford this child. What do I do? We're considering, and he is a Christian man who came out strong against abortion. He says, we're considering abortion. And I had to sit there and say, do you think abortion's wrong? And he goes, yeah. I says, why do you find it's wrong? And he says, well, I don't want a state. I says, no, you have to tell me why you feel abortion is wrong. I pulled it out of him. He says, it's murder. I says, are you willing to murder your child? He says, well, still in the womb. And he started giving me the excuses. And I pointed at his 2-year-old son right there. I says, can you kill that child right now? He says, no, that's my child. I says, the one in her womb is no different.
That's right.
None.
Right. Well, did you guys happen to see the head of the National Abortion Rights Action League, ARAL, Pro-Choice America, at the Democrat convention?
I have to say,
she was saying, well, it wasn't the right time to have the baby, so she killed it, and the applause was deafening.
Yeah.
It was almost as deafening applause as
because
your time got when he attacked Donald Trump.
I have to tell you, I am at this point glad I missed that because I would have lost it. I really would have lost it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that when the Bible tells us. Like I said at the beginning, I am the biblical philologist. When the Bible tells us that our Lord loves us and that he knit us in the womb,
right?
To sit there and think that the Lord loves us so much and he only wants good for us, and yet the evil of mankind can once again show its ugly face and rip apart a child inside the womb. And I'm using that word ripped apart. You might think I'm trying to be graphic about that, but that's exactly what they do.
Exactly what they
rip them limb from limb from the womb to get them out and say it's the right.
And where is all of these advocate groups that say that is such an important issue that they that they publicize and dominate the news cycle day after day after day because of one person being killed by a policeman that's defending herself.
Hillary Clinton and Bill and Gore and all these people were saying not so long ago abortion has to be safe, legal, and rare.
Yes.
Well, you know, it may be legal, but it certainly isn't safe.
Let me ask this question.
It certainly isn't rare.
Let me ask this question. For any politician that says that they need to make abortion safe and rare, the question to ask them is why do they need to make it rare? If they have no problem with it, if they see nothing wrong with it, why does it need to be rare?
Well, look what Hillary did. Now, she was her and her husband were saying that they wanted abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. She wants the federal government to fund it. She said that a right, if you can't access a right when you want to access it, then it's not a right.
But you see, we're walking past this point, and this is what I want to get at. Why do they say they want to make it rare? Unless they know in their heart that it needs to be rare because it's wrong.
Well, I think that the reason why they said that was to get people on their side. And once they got to the point where it's so much accepted and people are actually defending Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're coming up at 5 till. I want to get out this information one more time because there is one other thing I want to talk about real quickly that will only take a few minutes, but I want to get this out. Folks, the name of the book, once again, is called The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's Diabolical, Duplicitous, Dangerous, Disastrous, and Deadly Plan for Black America, written by Bruce Fleury. Last name is Fleury. The reason I give you that spelling is you can Google this book and find out the number of places to get it because he's got a whole list of them. So, again, Bruce Fleury's book, The Negro Project. Get it. It is educational. It is well studied. I've gone through it. It is done at a scholarly level. I was hoping when I got it, that's exactly what I would get, and you did not let me down on this. This research is remarkable on this, and you take your time to footnote everything, and that's great. The first thing I look at when I look at a book is the footnotes. So I want to thank you, Bruce, for joining us, and you have a blessed day, and keep up the good work.
Okay, God bless you guys both, and keep it up. Phil, keep knocking them dead down there earlier in the morning on Saturday.
Thank you.
Okay, I love you guys.
Thank you, Bruce.
We'll see you.
And that's right. He mentioned Phil and Saturday mornings. Phil joins me, and it's always a blessing to have you on the air with me. It really is. And I know you get up early in the morning. I guess you got a show that starts at 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
Yeah, you know, until I found out you had a show on at 7 a.m., I did not know there were two of those in the daytime, two 7 o'clocks in the daytime.
Yeah.
But your show is the Abolitionist Roundtable. Yeah. It is always, when I get a chance to wake up early enough to listen to that,
yes.
I do, but yeah. I have to admit that I normally like my sleeping in. A few weeks ago, and I've got to cover this, a few weeks ago, someone called me up and asked me a question. I was a guest on lovely Linda's show, The American Dream, and someone called up. I was talking about the leaders, and God selects our leaders, and someone asked me if I believe that God selects all leaders, and then gave examples such as Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, and stuff like that, and my answer was yes. And I gave him a biblical response, but I didn't give him the Bible in the verse. And so, folks, yes, I do believe that God selects all leaders, and he has his purposes for it. We may not always know what they are. But one of the verses I like to go to when I read that is the Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king. He was a terrible, terrible, ruthless man. If you actually study him, he was brutal. He had no problem talking about killing babies. He would kill babies and pile them up. He would he was ruthless with his enemies. He would dismember man, woman, and child. The guy was absolutely cruel. And so in his life, God talks to him, and he says to them, in Daniel, if you want the verse, Daniel 4, I'm going to go into verse 32, and God talking to Nebuchadnezzar says, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, then shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know, I'm sorry, this is Daniel talking to him, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whoever he chooses. God chooses the leaders, you know. And now we have to sit back and sometimes wonder why. And if we look at people like Hitler, well, Germany was moving in a way that was very anti-Semitic. It was practicing, as our last guest pointed out, they had their own eugenics movement already starting and going into effect. Germany hated everyone, and they started throwing them out. So they got the leader they deserved.
Yes.
And so that is why I gave that answer. And if you want to know, again, that was in Daniel 4. God picks all leaders. You all have a blessed day. Thank you, Phil, for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
And have a good day. Bye-bye.